Let's pray. Father, you have been so good to us in what you have revealed to us and what you have given to us through your Son. I ask, Father God, that you would remind us of how you speak to us. And I ask, Father God, this morning that your words would go forth, that you would speak, that it would be you and not me. And I ask, Father God, that in our lives you would be glorified. It's all about you and not about us. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going to preface what I'm going to say this morning by saying if I offend any of you, you can talk to me later. There are times when I feel the need to speak because, I'll just be real. I get irritated. Okay? I'm human. And so some of what is coming this morning is a little bit of an irritation. And you'll see why as this goes on. It's also a desire of mine to take New Hope, those that call this their church, this group of believers, deeper. Because there's things going on in the society around us and the world around us. We need to constantly be going deeper. Amen? So I'd like to begin this morning by going to John chapter 18, verse 33. And this began in a variety of different ways. I had some really neat stories I was going to tell and all that, but I ran out of time because I don't have an hour and a half with you this morning. So I cut the stories. But I was reading this passage, sitting with hummingbirds and wildflowers and all of the wonders of the campground I was in earlier in the week. And this really struck me. John 18:33, the interaction between Jesus and Pilate. There's a reminder here, and this kept coming into my mind. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about reminders. It's important for us to have reminders from time to time because there are, I see three forces that influence each one of us, each believer. And because of those influences, we need reminders. We need to help one another through these times. And those three forces are the influence of Satan and his war against the believer. We know that's there. The influence of the world around us. It's not hard to find that wearing on us on a daily basis. And the other one is that we continue to have this remaining sin nature that influences us as well. That continuing struggle. Well, at least I do. I know all of you don't ever sin, so that's mine. I'll carry that. We need to be reminded sometimes of the basics. In this passage, Jesus has been arrested and questioned before the high priests, Annas and Caiaphas. Then the Jews took Jesus to Pilate, who was the highest Roman authority in Judea. They needed Pilate's permission to put Jesus to death. So that's where we're at. John 18:33, therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him." We probably all recognize this passage. We've heard it before. We've been there. We've looked at it. There's an incredible amount of information in this passage. But as God has brought us to this place of a reminder and an encouragement, I want us to focus on one word in that passage. We find this word in verse 37 and 38. 37, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I'm a king. For this I have been born, for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth." That's the word. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Truth. Jesus was born, came into the world to testify to the truth. That's our word. It's our word to focus on this morning. Take special note of that last sentence in verse 37. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Then look at the unique way that Pilate responds in verse 38. Pilate says, "What is truth?" In many ways, Pilate was a very good 21st century man. He was cynical, and he had a problem with truth. When Pilate cynically asks the question, "What is truth?" he reflected the view of today's society. What is truth? This is all around us. This has been a concept that has bothered me more and more over the past few months. The postmodern society in which we live views the concept of truth with skepticism and a belief that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Absolute truth does not exist. Postmodernism affirms no objective or absolute truth in any way, especially in the matters of religion, spirituality, and morality. And when our society, when that postmodern society is confronted with a claim regarding the truth of God's existence and religious practice, postmodernism's viewpoint is exemplified in the statement or statements like, "That may be true for you, but not for me." We've heard that. This kind of response really, it's fine when we're discussing favorite foods. I like ketchup on macaroni. You know, there's some of those in my family that think I'm nuts. But you know, that's okay. What's good for you isn't good for me. You know, you don't know what you're missing. But that kind of thinking, that kind of mindset leads us to a very, very important, difficult place when we talk about spirituality and morality. Such a mindset when it comes to religious things brings us to plurality, a pluralism that says no faith or religion is objectively true. Therefore, no one can claim his or her religion is true and another is false. I have a problem with that. And I hope you do too. Relative truth and philosophical pluralism are opposed to Christianity because these concepts collectively dismiss God's word as something that has no real authority over mankind and no ability to show itself as true in a world of competing religions. The reminder for us, the reminder for believers, is that truth, absolute divine truth, does exist. And it is the most important reality in all of the universe. There really is nothing more important. We find this in the Word. Truth is referred to in ways that we would see it as a precious commodity, more valuable than any earthly riches. This is a message that's found many places. One of those would be in the longest psalm. Psalms 119:72 would be one of those verses. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. More important than gold and silver. And once found, Scripture tells us that it's something that we, if we find this truth, if we value this divine truth, this absolute reality of truth, then we're to hold on to it at all costs. This is the message of the wisdom of Solomon found in Proverbs 23:23. Buy truth, purchase it, in other words. Do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and an understanding. When you find truth, get a hold of it and never, ever give it away. Biblical Christianity is all about truth. God's objective revelation, the Bible. That's where we find truth. Everything we need to know for life in godliness is in Scripture. God wrote only one book. The Bible, Scripture. It contains all the truth God intended us to have, to be able to order our lives, our spiritual lives, the way He designed. He wrote one thing for us. He's given us one source. We don't need to consult any other source for spiritual or moral principles to govern our lives. And yet I find believers doing this all the time. Getting advice from here, looking here, going there. Maybe there's some interesting things out there, but truth is what God has given us. We need to be reminded that Scripture is holy truth, completely truth. It's the highest standard of all truth. The rule by which all truth claims must be measured. In our society, we get this backwards so often. Well, the scientists say. And then we try to reconcile that. No, wait a minute. The Bible says, God says. Let's measure science according to that. Let's measure morality according to that. Let's measure everything that we call truth against that source. Christian truth is not subject to change or amendment. It isn't rendered void by changes in world opinion or standards of political correctness. It doesn't need to be adapted or refined for every new generation. One of the things about God's truth that He has given us is it's outside of us. An example of what this would be like if this truth was in us is the motion picture industry. It kind of refines and, you know, dictates its morality itself. So its truth comes from itself. Well, what do we have? They can do whatever they want. They can change the standards anytime they want. God's truth is not subject to change, and it is not subject to any human system. An individual believer's understanding of the truth can be improved. We can improve our understanding of truth and be sharpened by study of Scripture. It's possible to do that. We can gain more and more truth as we go to the Word. But truth itself does not need to be reinvented or retooled in order to make it suitable for the times in which we live. The same truth Abraham, Moses, David, the apostles, the early believers, all of them had is still truth for us. Truth is truth. It doesn't change. Changing times, changing culture does not change truth. Our culture here is very different than the culture I've ministered to in East India. But the truth there is exactly the same as the truth here. It's His truth, God's truth. Scripture is as unchanging as God Himself because it comes from Him. 1 Peter 1:25, "But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you." This is so important for us to get deep inside of us. The truth of Scripture is something precious that must be carefully handled and closely guarded. This was one of Paul's exhortations to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:20. "O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge." Ooh. A proper understanding of Scripture involves conscientious and diligent study. We need to be there on a regular basis. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us this: "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." And this is where I start to get a little, my feathers are a little ruffled. Accurately handling the word of truth. That's where we need to be at. You see, truth is everything, or should be, to a Christian. That's why the church, that's why the body of Christ is called to refute error, defend the truth, and proclaim Scripture as the supreme truth against every lie propagated by the world and false teachers, ultimately in the opposition that Satan has against the church. Truth. My concern lately is that the church, I'm not talking about just New Hope. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. I'm concerned that the body of Christ has lost focus on this fact of how important the truth is. It's no longer deemed necessary to fight for the truth. For some that would say they're in the body of Christ, it is now considered ill-mannered and uncharitable to argue about any point of doctrine. Now there are some brothers in the Lord I like to argue with. We discuss stuff. We wrestle with the deeper things of Scripture. One of those ongoing things is predestination and election. The free will of man, the sovereignty of God, those are things we wrestle with. But we agree on the truth. We agree on the source. I don't have to change the way I believe in truth just to accommodate somebody else. If within the body of Christ, we're even finding that gross error is tolerable in some parts of quote-unquote Christianity just for the sake of peace. We don't want to offend anyone, so we'll, okay, have it your way. Rather than rightly dividing the word and proclaiming it as truth, there are some in the body of Christ now who feature things more like this: "Let's come together on Sunday mornings and gather together and we'll have a motivational lecture. A drama, some comedy. We'll have some forms of entertainment." While all the time ignoring the truth of Scripture. Why? That's one way we could add to our numbers really quickly. That's why some churches do that. And I know of one church that I grew up in that was at one time 600 to 700 people. And they have a hard time getting 150 together on a Sunday morning now. And this is what they're doing. It's a motivational lecture every Sunday. And they wonder why they cannot grow. There are those that would be a part of the body of Christ who misuse Scripture. And they attempt to rewrite the letters of Paul so that they can return to the errors of the Judaizers of the first century. This has been something that has been hard for me to take. Several times in my life I've encountered this. It's Judaizing. It's the reason that Paul wrote Galatians, and so much of the New Testament is written in a certain way. Let's leave it the way God wrote it and base what we believe and what we practice on the truth. In the past, well, since the first of the year, there's been an increase in the number of people that I've encountered that verbalize their belief in Christ, but then also speak of all religions ultimately bringing people to God. Wait a minute. There's only one way, and that one way is presented by the truth of Scripture. It's only through Christ. Recently, I've spoken with believers who are questioning whether the body of Christ should accept the writings of Joseph Smith. I talked with a woman who was irritated with me about that. Charles Taz Russell. We've got to incorporate this into our Christianity because we don't want to offend anyone. Same thing's true with the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. These are real encounters I've had with real people. There are other false teachers that this idea has entered into the minds of so-called believers because they don't want to offend anyone. And it's difficult. I know that even using names, you know, I brought up Joseph Smith. Some would be offended that I would use, you know, pastor. It's very offensive that you would actually I could use the word Mormon. Who am I going to offend? We've got to remember, we've got to be reminded as believers in Jesus Christ that the truth is still the truth. And if it offends someone, they are offended by Christ, not me. There's an increase in interest in writings that are in obvious conflict with the truth found in the 66 inspired books God has given. What about this writing? I read an article in the past couple of weeks about the Gospel of Peter. Okay? All of a sudden, there's a couple of people that are on, you know, wow, we're really, you know, the Gospel of Peter. It's not a part of Scripture. It might be interesting to read, but so is Shakespeare. Well, sort of. There's a reason why we have the 66 books that God has given to us, and God is more than powerful enough to protect the 66 books that He intended to be inspired. If they are inspired by God, then He will protect them. If it isn't in the canon, no matter what your concept of that is, and if you'd like to know more about that, I'll help you understand how God has put those 66 books together. Anything outside of those 66 books is not Scripture. You want to know the truth? Go to the 66. That's what God has given to us. That is truth. The body of Christ needs to be all about God's truth. Jesus said in the passage we've looked at, He came as the proclaimer of truth. He came to proclaim truth because humanity needed to know the truth about God. humans desperately needed and still need to know the truth. And that's what he told Pilate. Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." You want to know truth? You want to know the truth? Look at Jesus. Look at what he has given to us. He's the one who said this. Jesus said, John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That's truth. Amen? Jesus also said this, John 8:31-32. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Free from what? And very often we'll go free from separation from God. Okay. But we're also free from that search that all of humanity has always had for the truth. Because even those people who would prescribe to the postmodern ideas of there not being an absolute truth are searching for the truth. And only in the truth that God has given to us in Scripture will we find the freedom to be able to say, "I am free. I know the truth." That is, when we grasp that, there's an excitement that should stir in us. We have the truth. We know the church. The church knows the truth. Believers know the truth. Jesus came to the earth. He came to the world to bear witness to the truth about God, the truth about men, the truth about sin, the truth about judgment, the truth about love, the truth about holiness, the truth about life, the truth about death, the truth about everything. And when you know Jesus, you know truth. Because Jesus came to proclaim truth. In John 10, Jesus is speaking in regards to his sheep. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." My sheep know my voice. They hear it. They understand it. Are we there? Or are we hearing some other voice? And if we're listening to some other voice, we aren't listening to truth. The only way you ever know truth is to know Jesus Christ. And all of us who know Jesus Christ know this to be true. The exhortation then today, the encouragement, the reminder is believers must be committed to the truth. Because we exist in this world, which is the realm of Satan, the father of lies, he strives diligently to keep sinners from understanding and believing the truth of the Bible, and he works hard at keeping believers confused. God is the God of truth. He is the God of truth, and he can only speak the truth. If he were not to speak the truth, he would cease to be God. Christ is the truth. He is full of the truth, revealed the truth, spoke the truth, testified to the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and helps us understand the truth. God's truth is infinite and able to save. Salvation comes from faith in the truth. Believers are sanctified by the truth, love the truth. They are set free by the truth, worship the truth, rejoice in the truth, speak the truth, meditate on the truth, manifest the truth, obey the truth, are guided by the truth, and walk in the truth. Does that describe you? Do you speak the truth? Or do you fudge because you don't want to offend anyone? You know? See, you kind of, well, you know. Because when you do that, when you talk with somebody and you pull the, well, okay, kind of, then you're just like the postmodernists, and you're saying what's okay for you is okay for you, and what's okay for me is okay with me. Speak the truth. There is only one way to God, and that is through the truth, Jesus Christ. The Bible is truth. It is the only absolute authority that we have. And if they don't like it and they persecute you, then you receive a crown in heaven. It's your choice. I believe with all my heart that historic Christian faith is built upon the confidence that this book, the Bible, is God-breathed. It is the most unique writing of all time. There is never, ever going to be anything that equals it. There has never been any other writing that will equal it. No other religious writing even comes close. No other religious writing contains God's truth. If that steps on people's feet, then they need to have their feet stepped on. The Bible is infallible, which means it does not lead to error. It does not lead to wrong conclusions. It does not teach erroneous doctrines. It does not teach things that aren't true. It's also inerrant. That means that each word in the original manuscripts, there are no errors. And it is authoritative, which means that it's binding on the lives of all. The Bible can be trusted. It is believable. The strongest, for me, one of those things I just go, yeah, look, here's a strong argument, a strong support for biblical inspiration and authority is the testimony of the Lord Himself, Jesus Christ. If Jesus said it's true, it's true. He used the Old Testament repeatedly. That's pretty huge. There can be no more reliable witness to the nature of Scripture than the one who died and rose to be the Savior, Jesus Christ. And then He sends the Spirit to reside within us, and the Spirit is constantly doing the same thing. It's the Word, it's the Word, it's the Word. That's what He was sent to do, is to help us. Lord Jesus Christ rules His church by His Spirit and by His Word. Brothers and sisters, in the church, those of you who are part of the body of Christ, we have the truth. We can rejoice in that. We have the truth in the world, in the society where most people are simply wandering around in hopeless ignorance. They're dead. We need to proclaim the truth. We need to proclaim the truth in every place that we are. We have the truth. We need to quit playing along with those who suggest we're being arrogant if we claim to know anything for certain. I think it's really exciting that I can know for certain. Don't you? I know for certain that my Savior died for me. I know for certain where I will be when I die. We do have the truth. And it isn't because Christians are smarter or better than anyone else. It's because we believe that God has revealed it in the Scriptures and has been gracious to open our eyes to see it. That's what makes us different. And in actuality, we would be sinning if we tried to keep the truth to ourselves. Let's just hide out, not let anybody else in. This idea of truth, then, for us as a part of New Hope is also why one of our core beliefs, and I believe perhaps the most important of our core beliefs, is the centrality of God's Word. If it's not scriptural, let's not do it. If it's truth, let's proclaim it. Let's help one another deepen in our understanding of truth. Let's work together. Sometimes we may come at it from different ways. It's the truth of God that's important. The centrality of God's Word. When we understand the truth, we also then understand that His truth declares very clearly one way to be in fellowship with God, and that one way is clearly Christ. Christ died for our sins. As a part of what we do today in this celebration, is that we come to participate in remembering the sacrifice that Christ made for us. How do we know about that sacrifice? We know from what God has revealed to us in Scripture. As the men come to serve, come and prepare to distribute the elements, I would like for you to join me in remembering what Christ has done. Prepare your heart. Prepare your spiritual being. How do we do that? Well, one of the ways that we do that is that we submit to the truth and we say, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for those sins that I have committed, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the blood that you have shed to make me clean. Father, forgive me for those times when I have said and done things that were inappropriate or wrong. Find in me this morning a heart that wants the truth. Father, we come into your presence to celebrate the goodness of who you are and what you've done. We're here this morning to celebrate the truth. The truth of what Christ has done for us. And Father, we prepare our hearts. Oh, Father. We soften our hearts before you to be ready to partake of the elements that symbolize the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came to proclaim absolute truth. Father, thank you for the sacrificial death of your Son. I ask, Father God, that as we share in this time this morning, that you'd fill us with a fresh desire and passion for Scripture, for truth. Take away the confusion and the lies of the world around us. As we focus in these next few minutes on what your Son did. that we know and can proclaim as absolute truth. He hung on the cross, died a terrible death, so that we could even have this conversation. Thank you, Father, for the work of your Son. In his name, amen.